On Friday, Alliant Energy announced that they had received a $30 million federal grant to build a carbon dioxide-based energy storage facility in Columbia County. It's the first of its kind in the U.S., the first ever on this scale. It's one possible path towards solving a problem for renewable energy, how to store energy from peak production times and then use it when it's needed the most. Mark Anderson is professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering and director of the Thermal Hydraulic Laboratory at UW-Madison. Mark, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Can you talk about the storage problem a little bit? How big an obstacle is it for renewable energy to have this need to, you know, store up the, say, the peak solar energy when the sun's out and then use it when the sun's not out?
Yeah, as a society, we've become very dependent on extremely reliable energy. And as we start to clean up the energy environment and go to solar and wind, which is somewhat intermittent, we have to build storage into the grid infrastructure so that we can keep this reliability where we expect it to be. So if the sun goes down at night, we still need power. If the wind stops blowing, we still need power. So rather than ramping up diesel generators or something like that, we can add clean energy storage solutions and store that clean energy from solar and wind. So that helps in the environmental impact of our power production.
Now, looking at this new Columbia County project, I mean, I think if something stores energy, it's technically a battery. But reading the specs of this thing, it doesn't work like batteries. I know about it. Can you talk about this carbon dioxide, this CO2 method of energy storage?
Sure. Yeah, there's many ways to store energy, and this is one. So you can store it by pumping water up a hill and letting it come down. And you can store it in compressed gases. So there's been research done before where you use compressed air storage, and you've taken air and you can compress it. And sometimes you can store it in big salt mines and then let it release and spin a turbine to perform energy. And this new system that Alliant is looking at is using carbon dioxide as a working gas. And the idea here is that you compress the carbon dioxide up. And carbon dioxide, if you compress it up to a certain point, it turns to a liquid. And so you can store it much more densely than you can a gas. And then it's kind of like your soda stream machine at home. You have compressed CO2 there. You open a valve and then you let the gas come out. That would pass by a turbine, spin it, and that spins a generator to create energy. So that's kind of the idea associated with this. With the CO2 system, it's a little different than air, because an air compressed air system would take air from the environment, come in, cool it down, and compress it. And you'd have to store it essentially in a refrigerator. You'd have to cool it down. And then you would release it to the atmosphere when you wanted to spin your turbine. This CO2 system is a closed system where you would compress the CO2. You could store it. But in this case, you can store it at room temperature. You don't have to have the refrigeration associated with the compressed air. You do have a little bit more complexity because you want to have a closed system. So you have a very large bag that would store the non-compressed CO2. And then when you want to charge your system, you draw from that big bag the CO2, compress it, and store it as a liquid.
Do we have functioning working models of this on the planet yet?
There's been a small scale demonstration. So the company that's developed this particular technology started in Italy, and I think they've done a 2.5 megawatt type demonstration plant, but it hasn't been tested at larger scales. And so this will be a first of a kind test for this particular concept. Like I mentioned, there have been other companies that have done demonstrations with air, but not with CO2.
And this proposal now, this would be, you said that trial one was 2.5 megawatt. This is 200 megawatt, this storage facility, at least that would be in the works. It sounds like a lot. How much is 200 megawatts?
Yeah, so it's 200 megawatt hours, which means that you can generate 20 megawatts for about 10 hours. And 20 megawatts can power about 20,000 homes. So it's a fairly large scale system. And this is going to be integrated with the PV, solar, and wind that we have being built in Wisconsin.
Now, I know anytime you use energy, you tend to lose some of the energy along the way. How efficient is this CO2 storage method? How much attrition do we get as we keep turning the CO2 from gas to liquid and back again?
Yeah, so any storage method is never 100% efficient. And typically what you talk about is a round-trip efficiency. That means that it through compresses gas, it takes a little more energy than it does, than you'll get out. So in this particular application, you have to put in about 25 megawatts where you get out 20 megawatts. So the round trip efficiency is on the order of 75% for this type of system. That's a little bit lower than the batteries. A battery is typically between 80 and 90% round trip efficiency, but you also have to consider the overall cost of the system and so forth. And battery systems right now are pretty expensive due to the high cost of lithium and some of the raw materials that go into them.
Talking to Mark Anderson from UW-Madison's Thermal Hydraulic Laboratory about energy storage, a plan for a pretty good size facility in Columbia County to store energy using CO2. Mark, talk a little more about those battery options. I know we have them around the country. They've gotten some nods for helping during heat waves get through some peak hours of demand for air conditioning, but as you mentioned, some of the raw materials, the lithium, I think cobalt in some batteries, hard to get resources sometimes. How big an option are those for us?
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, there's always research going on to try to lower the cost of the batteries. Right now, the amount of battery storage that we have is pretty minimal compared to the amount of energy that we have on the grid. So it's a very, very small percentage. And again, as we add these new renewables to the system, we need to increase the storage. So there's research going on in many different areas, not just batteries, but this compressed gas storage. There's also gravity systems where you can raise a weight and then drop it. There's hydro systems where you can pump up liquid water and let it come down. And there's also thermal systems where you can add energy to a molten salt or something and heat that up and then recover the heat from that process. But battery storage is nice because it's fairly quick. There are some concerns with some of the different batteries and the degradation in the lifetime of the batteries and so forth. So we're looking at all different kinds of options for storage.
And you mentioned, Mark, the importance of connecting this to the grid. As I understand it, this Columbia County proposal is going to be sited next to a current coal plant that's scheduled to be retired in the next couple of few years. But presumably that coal plant is at the nexus of the power grid. Lots of power lines coming in and out. Is that a nice, target of convenience for the batteries, the storage facilities of the future?
Yeah, definitely. There's a lot of work going on looking at some of these old coal plants and seeing if we can retire them, but still make use of some of the infrastructure. And like you mentioned, all the power lines and the distribution and stuff goes into those coal power plants. So converting these coal power plants to a more environmentally friendly energy source is a good way to do it. And adding storage at this particular site and then making use of the wind and PV around it seems like a good idea.
You mentioned a few moments ago, Mark, that we don't have a whole ton of storage capacity relative to the amount of energy we're producing. Do you see that starting to change? Are we starting to play catch up and creating more of these storage facilities of whatever type?
We are. I think there's a lot of work going on this. So Alliant Energy just got a bunch of funding from the Department of Energy, and the Department of Energy is really looking at trying to improve this and increase storage. And there's a lot of different federal programs that are out there that can help us start to increase the storage and increase the impact of the renewables.
You mentioned a list of different storage options for electricity we produce with alternatives. Do you think we're going to get to the point where we say, yes, this one is the best, this is our go-to method, or is it going to be tough to have a one-size-fits-all, maybe something that's in a hotter climate, will work better in one place, something else will work better in a colder place, or what is the mix of the future going to look like?
Yeah, I think we have to make use of all of them. So there's physical storage systems, thermal, electrochemical, batteries, these compressed air systems. I think they all have an impact, and they can all be useful, and you have to look at the specific spot that you're going to put the storage in and what makes the most sense for the intermittency associated with the location that you are on the grid. So I think all of these methods are viable and can help improve our environmental footprint.
A concern I've heard raised a lot, Mark, about the transition to renewals is you're never going to be able to get rid of a baseline production, whether it's coal or natural gas or nuclear or something like this. Could we be at a point at some point in the future where we have enough of this storage that those intermittent sources really could take over and we wouldn't need that baseline plant using fossil fuels or nuclear or what have you?
I think that's a little difficult, and I think you will need some kind of base load. Nuclear is a good option. It's very environmentally friendly with respect to CO2 emissions anyways. So I think there will always be a mix of that, but certainly there's in a way to improve the amount of solar and wind that we have on the grid too.
In our last few moments, Mark, what are you watching for with this CO2 technology in the future that we're seeing in the works here in Columbia County?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how this demonstration goes. So like you mentioned, this is a first of a kind type of demonstration, and they're scaling it up quite large. I talked a little bit about this, the fact that they have to store the CO2 at low pressures, and this is going to require a big, essentially a balloon to hold the non-pressurized gas. So how that holds up and what kind of round trip efficiency they can actually meet in a full scale system will be interesting to look at.
Mark, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
That's Mark Anderson, professor in the Department of Mechanical Engineering and director of the Thermal Hydraulic Laboratory at UW-Madison. We talked to him about a new carbon dioxide-based energy storage facility coming to Wisconsin in Columbia County.